Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you. Lord, we want to thank you for another beautiful morning that we have to come and worship you. We want to thank you for the sunshine, Lord, the warmer weather that we've been having. Most of all, we want to thank you, Lord, for the work that you've done in our lives.
Amen.
So we've heard the testimonies up here this morning, Lord, and the lives that you have changed, Lord, from rebellion, Lord, from sin to your glorious freedom, Lord. We want to thank you for doing that work. And as we perhaps reflect over the past week, Lord, maybe over our failures or our victories, Lord, I pray that you would just give us humility, Lord, and give us power, give us your grace, Lord, to overcome the things that need to be overcome in our lives, Lord. Pray for Brother James here as he brings the word. Just give him your peace, Lord. Give him the thoughts that you want him to share. Take away the thoughts you don't want him to share, Lord.
Amen.
Inspire him. Inspire us, Lord. If you don't meet with us this morning, we're meeting in vain. So we just ask that your presence would be here. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. The greetings in Jesus' name this morning. Just a quick question. How are we doing? How are we doing this morning? With that, I would like to, for John Robert to lead a song. It is song 441. If you would lead that song for me, please. I think it's, 441.
Hold ground with beauty, Lord.
I suppose there's not a whole lot of doubt in your minds today what I'm going to preach about. And I can't say that I'm standing up here and I'm not trembling. Because I'm going to endeavor to preach about something today that the world hates. Amen? They hate it. And they hate it with a passion. But it needs not be that way. Question, what about us? How much do we love it? How much do we love it? How much do we cherish it? How much do we want it? The first verse I'd like to read is in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of every woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Do you understand that? So a question this morning to us husbands, us men, us fathers, is Christ your head? Is everything you think, everything you do, and the way you act amongst your family, is Christ the head? If not, you need to find it. You need to get it. I believe, for the most part, that's what I'm sensing. I'm going to move on. I'm not real sure how far I'm going to get with this message today, but when my time is up, I'll just quit. And trust that'll be all right with you all. But I want to make a disclaimer here before I begin. I'm going to be preaching about the husbands a lot today. And then I may preach about the wives as well. I want to make a disclaimer. I believe that you wives, you have some good advice. I believe that from the bottom of my heart. Because in our lives, me and my wife's married life, if I would have only listened to some of her advice, I wouldn't have suffered the things that I suffered. So you have some good advice, but it needs to be in subjection to the husband. And it's not impossible. This is not impossible, brothers and sisters. The husband can be under Christ, and the wife can be under the husband, and the children under the husband and the wife. The mom and the dad. It's not impossible. It is actually very possible. Very possible. I mean, the opportunity for my children to be somewhere else where they're at today was a high possibility. But God and His mercy intervened. He intervened. And He brought healing. And if there's a family in here, there's a mom and a dad and a husband and a wife, and sitting in here today and they're struggling, there's hope. But it may need some repentance. There may be needs of getting down on your knees and ask God, help me. I don't know how to do it. Somehow God done that with our family. I don't know how it all happened. I don't know. But I know God is able to do abundantly and exceedingly and abundantly above all that we what? Ask or think. What a beautiful promise. It's attainable. Brothers and sisters, it's attainable. Without a doubt. But we're going to have to do it God's way. God's way. If you could have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn to Colossians 3. I was going to read the entire chapter, but I think I'm going to have to, I'm just going to begin reading. Colossians 3, turn your Bibles there, please. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. Fathers, dads, set your affections on Christ. When Christ is your life, when Christ is your life shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. What a promise. Dads, husbands, is your life in Christ? So when your wife has a suggestion or something that you can talk to each other together and come to a conclusion. And let the husband make the final choice. There's a lot more to read there. Let's go to verse 18. It says, wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives. And it's not possible to love your wife if you're not in Christ. It's not possible. love your wives, husbands, and be not bitter against them. I remember a time that I was an extremely bitter man. Those were not. But I wasn't in Christ, brothers. I was into myself. Verse 20, children, obey your parents. Children, young people. Young people, young men, if you want to come to this point, if you want to get to this point right here, which I believe many of you have that desire, if you want to get there, here's your remedy. Obey your parents in all things. What? All things. For it is well-pleasing to the Lord. Verse 21. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, to anger, lest they be discouraged. I remember a day that I provoked one of my children to anger. Wasn't good. And I believe today that from the bottom of my heart that young man was very discouraged. But it needs not be that way Husbands, are you in Christ? That your children can see that. That they can be obedient. Husbands, can you be in Christ to the level where your wife can come underneath and be subject to you? First Peter 3. Likewise, ye wives, be in subject to your own husbands, that if any obey not in the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. Do we understand that verse? Maybe your husband is struggling in a situation. Can you come underneath? And that your conversation will lift him up. We'll lift him up that he can lead. Or is there maybe a suppressing? Oh, if you had only did it this way or that way. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. I'm going to read that verse again, verse number 1. Likewise, ye wives, be in subject to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wife. Wives, you have a very, very important role as a wife and a mother. Beyond what I can tell you today. Let's walk in it. Let's walk in it. Because I have an illustration to draw up here a little bit later in this board if I get the time. That if you're not walking in that way. In fact, I'm going to start to draw that now. And don't run me under the bus. Please don't. Till you hear me. Because sometimes, and maybe, just maybe, you are a wife in here and you're struggling. Just maybe. And this is what it looks like. And somewhere here, we're trying to put the church. And somewhere here, we're trying to bring in Christ in a lopsided view. Because that's out of order. Hear me? Do you see it? Do you see it happening? That's the burden that I have. It needs not be that way. This is This is attainable, my friend, my brothers and sisters. Let's get that in our minds and our hearts this morning, that this is attainable. But this is devastating to what's going to happen here. It's devastating. Because sooner or later, these children are going to try to find their place in this home. And sometimes they may end up in between mom and dad. I remember that day. Then sometimes, and by the way, in all this confusion, we're trying to bring in the church somewhere, and we're trying to bring in Christ somewhere, and it ends up being a confusion and a disaster. And maybe husbands, maybe you're not innocent in this picture. Maybe you're not innocent. Maybe you have never been in Christ. Maybe Christ has never been your head. And the wife saw the opportunity to take over the home. How important is it, husbands, that we learn how to be in Christ? So these children can find their place in the kingdom of God, in the church. By the way, there's a I want to say doctrine, but it's not. Yeah, there is. That men try to blame the church for where their family's at. Oh, if the church would have only just helped us. Brothers and sisters, that's a false idea. Yeah, the church is there. Praise God. And maybe this is where you need to go. Maybe you're struggling here and you need to go to the church. We missed it. We need help. Huh? Maybe. But these children are going to suffer. By the way, over here, are we satisfied here just with children? I have a verse I'd like to read out of Joel. If I can find it real quick here. Yes, Joel 1 verse 3. Tell your children of it. Of what? I'm going to use the illustration here of the kingdom of God. Tell your children of it and let your children tell their children. And their children, another generation. I believe we need to have the vision of children. Children. On and on and on and on and on and on. For the Bible says in where it says it can go on for what? 1,000 generations, I think it says somewhere. Is that your vision? I'll never see 1,000 generations. But I believe God is putting an impact on us that it's possible to do 1,000 generations. So what's your vision, husbands? What's your vision? We have history. We have history right before our eyes. What happens with this concept? Amen? This is what happens with this concept. When the wife is in control, it doesn't work. Period. But I'm not blaming the wife fully here. I believe the husband has a fault in it. Stand up, husbands. At the beginning, you young couples here that just got married not too long, husbands, stand up and take charge. With Christ your head, it's possible. In Christ, all things are possible. All things. I'm not preaching a message here of no hope. But I'm preaching a message this morning, and I had to think when John Robert got up here, I had to think, maybe this is the last message that I will preach. Just maybe. And if it is, praise the Lord. I'm going to preach it this morning. As it is my last one. I'm encouraging the husbands over and over in this message, stand up and be a husband in Christ. Young men that are not married yet in this room, learn how to stand up and be in Christ as a young man. So when you become a husband, you're right there. You're right there. It doesn't have to suffer. It don't have to suffer. This is suffering here. They're still trying to figure out where to put Christ in this picture. Because it's out of line. So he's on the sideline. Most of the time, he's on the sideline. Just as the church is. And we'll use the church when we need him. Or maybe not even think that away. This is what could happen. Eventually, the children will end up here. And they'll be calling the shots. You hear me? Have you ever seen that happen? And if it gets to that point, they will call the shots. And they will strike their own way. They will. Unless somewhere before that happens, there's repentance here. And then there's restoration. And then there's restoration. Amen. But it needs to be repented of. Because if it's not, this is the downside of my message. This was the hardest part of my message this morning is this. But I have to do it. Just for a warning. I'm just warning the church this morning that this is where to go. This is where to go, husband and wife. At this point, the husband is totally out of control now. It's the children and the wife. Children and the wife. And the husband, he's just waddling around and he's crippled. And then he even may come to the church in a silent way and says, I need some help. I need some help. And they may even give him some good advice. But he has no power. He has absolutely no power to bring it in subjection because the children and the wife are in control. And pretty soon, the children will end up somewhere way down here. totally disconnected from the church. Have you seen it happen? Be honest with me. It's history. Doesn't need to be that way. My brothers and sisters sitting in this room today, it doesn't need to be that way. I'm convinced of that. I'm convinced of that. 100%, because this is where we were headed. Right here. This is where we were headed, and this is where my children were headed. But God. Hear me here. Somewhere down in here, somewhere your children, somewhere down in here, somewhere here, in the world, they may come to a point where they're at the end of the rope. They're at the bottom of the boat, and they need help. Then maybe at that point, they'll cry out to the church. Maybe. There's still hope. I'm not preaching hopelessness here. Absolutely not. If there's hope. But that looks like a confusion, doesn't it? Maybe I ought to just erase that. Maybe I ought to just erase that so you don't get discouraged. But I'm here to before I do, I am going to erase that. Because I don't like it. I don't like it. Because it needs not be that way. We're going to preach hope. We're going to race it all. Amen. A warning, if you're sitting in here and there's a trace of that happening, repent. Just a trace of it, and repent. Because this is where we're going, right here. Christ, the head of the husband. And then when that takes place, the wife can come underneath the husband. This is the church. Amen. Forget trying to make the church up here. And then the church is over the family. Yeah, it is to a degree, but not to its fullness. This is the fullness right here. I had a story that I was going to read, or an article that I was. I found this article yesterday. Will you allow me to read this? I know that I'm possibly going to go over my time this morning, and that's okay. Are we all right with that this morning? If you get tired of it, talk to me afterward. It says, I worked 40 years. This is the heading of this story. I worked 40 years, retired comfortably. And then I cried. And then I cried because I realized I never actually lived. If someone would have only told me when I was 25. Brothers and sisters, I can remember this time. If someone would have actually told me where I was going and what I was doing, I could have saved a lot of misery. And maybe somebody did and I didn't listen. It's very possible. The morning after my retirement party, now you have to understand this is an article. And it's not Bible backed up, okay? Please understand when I read this. And I'm not reading all of it. The morning after my retirement, I sat in my home office, the one I barely used for anything except storing tax documents. I felt absolutely hollow. Four decades of my work behind me. Hollow. Four decades. A comfortable pension ahead of me. And all I could do was stare at a wall wondering, what have I been doing all those years? When I read this, I had to reflect back on many of my wasted years. When you are 25, everyone else tells you to hustle, bustle, climb the ladder. Save for retirement. And you know what? That advice isn't wrong, but it's dangerously incomplete. Dangerously incomplete. I spent 35 years in the middle management of an insurance company. Every performance review, every promotion, every raise felt like a progress. But progress toward what? I was so focused on moving up, I never stopped to ask even if I liked where I was going. Remember all those things you said you'd do someday? Someday I'll do this. Someday I'll do this. I had a whole catalog of some days. Some days I'll have long dinners with my family without checking my phone every 5 minutes. I don't know why this article came before my eyes yesterday morning. But I believe it's to wake us up, brothers. I know it's not scripture, but it's reality. It is reality. You know what? You know, you want to know when some days come? Never. It's the biggest lie we tell ourselves. Someday I'll do this. While you're waiting on the perfect moment, life is happening right now. Huh? And life is, this isn't in here, but life is just fleeting away when we're deciding what we're going to do someday. Success is a wrong scoreboard. We've got success all backwards. We measure it in dollars and titles. We measure it in dollars and titles and square footage. I need a bigger shed. I need a bigger house. I need a bigger, 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 a bigger, bigger, bigger. And all this time, I believe that this man that wrote this, his children are gone. And he has nothing to show for but an emptiness. That's it. And he's crying with tears. I left that part out. He's crying with tears behind his office desk. I missed it. I missed it. When I look back 40 years, the moments that actually mattered had anything to do with all the things I could get. After I retired at 62, when my company downsized, I went through a brutal period of depression because he had nothing. He might have had a pension, but he had nothing. He had nothing. Husbands, let's get in Christ. So you don't end up here. He said, not because I missed work, because I finally had time to see how empty I was. Christ was not this man's head. Absolutely not. Self was the head of that man. And today he's 62 years old. And he doesn't know what to do about it. Your future self is a stranger. He made that quote in this article. By the way, there's only one thing that'll hinder this right here. There's only one thing that'll hinder this picture. If this man is selfish, that's it. The tragedy isn't that we change, that's inevitable. It is that we change without noticing it. We make 1,000 tiny compromises, each one seeming reasonable at the time. Skip this, do this, finish this done, get that done, do this. And suddenly you're 60 years old wondering how you became someone that you don't even recognize. That's almost where I was at one point in time of my life. I became someone that I barely knew who I was. What would your 25-year-old self think who you are today? not your bank account or your job title, you as a person, would you be excited? Or would you be confused how you ended up where you are? Brothers, we don't need to be here. This is just the warning, is all it is. And I don't believe there is anybody here, but I'm giving you a warning. I'm 65 years old, and I made many mistakes in this category right here. Again, my God. Trying to sort through it here. If I could tell my 25-year-old self one thing, it wouldn't be about investments or career strategies. It would be this. The life you are preparing for is happening right now. Don't wait until retirement to start living. Don't wait. Till life is about over. And realize you never lived. You were breathing normally. You were going through life, but you missed it. Don't wait until retirement to start living. Don't assume you'll have time later. Now is the time. Now is the accepted time to do the will of God. Don't waste any more time. This man wasted 62 years of his life. Wasted, gone. In depression. And possibly by now, this man may have committed suicide. Man. Getting more devastating, isn't it? I don't know that. Work hard, sure. We need to work hard. We have a family. We have children. We have children. We have grandchildren. We have children support, wife support. Yeah, we need to work hard. Absolutely. Let's bring it in perspective. God's way. Save money, sure. We need to save money. We need to live. But remember that the point of building a good life and live it. The good life, the good Christian life, and then live it out. It's possible. In Christ, all things are possible. And then he says in this right here, and not to admire it from a distance. That's what he was doing. That's all he had left to do. And he was too tired to enjoy it. He was wore out. Because he tried to do it in his 25-year-old self. And he failed. This man failed miserably. I'm going to read some scriptures in closing. And bear with me, please bear with me. Husbands, tell your children about it. When you go, I'm just going to paraphrase these scriptures in Deuteronomy 6, 4 to 11. Do it before you go to bed. Do it in your dreams. Do it when you get up. Do it before you go to work. Do it when you get home from work. Tell them about the plan of salvation, the kingdom of God. Tell them about it. Don't wait till they get a little older. Here's that verse. Know therefore the Lord of thy God. He is God. He is God and He is able to do these things. The faithful God which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations. Praise God, it's possible. Observe and hear all these words. This is Deuteronomy 12:28. Observe and hear all these words which I command thee, that he may go well with thee and with thy children. Hear these words. That it will go well with thy children after thee forever. Forever, it says, when thou doest that which is good and right in the sight of the Lord thy God. Praise God for the word that we have, there's hope. Say with me, with Joshua, for me and my house, what? We will what? Serve the Lord. It's not hard. This is not hard, brothers and sisters. It's when we make it hard when we don't get in our place. When we're out of our place, like was drawn up here earlier, when the husband's not in Christ and the wife's over the husband, it's not hard if it's like this. This is godly. And God supports this and God helps us all the way through. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. He'll be with us until the end. That's what the scripture saith. God help us. Samuel 25:6 says, and thus shall we say to him that liveth in prosperity. I believe that word prosperity means that we live in the gospel, we live in the knowledge, and we live in the wisdom, and we live in the fear of God. I believe that's what that prosperity means, or I could be stand to be corrected, by the way. Just come talk to me if there's something was said here today that you have a question about. Let's talk it over. Peace be with thee, and peace be in thine house. Peace be in thine house. When we live in knowledge and we live in Christ, live in wisdom and the fear of God, then the peace of God will be in the house. Amen. Amen. Like I said, it's doable. I'm not preaching a gospel here that's not doable. I'm going to have to skip some of these and move on here. I'm going to be reading Psalms 103:17. Bless me. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon him, on them that fear him, and his righteousness unto the children's children. What a promise. But we're going to have to do it God's way. Brothers and sisters, I can't expound on that enough. We're going to have to do it God's way. Or you are going to fail. How do I know? I tried to do this. Too many years I tried to do this. My way. My way. My 25-year-old self way. Wasn't working. Except the Lord build the house. Psalms 127. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain. Proverbs 6:17:6, children's children are the crown. Are the crown of an old man. And the glory of children are their father. What glorious Proverbs 24:3-4. Through wisdom is a house builded. Through wisdom is a home builded. And by understanding it is established. Let's rise for prayer. Lord Heavenly Father, we bow here in your presence today, Lord. We thank you. We thank you for the word that you have, Lord, that we can lean on. So we can establish this home, Father, that many in this room are trying to endeavor. And thank you, God, that we have you to lean on. For our understanding and for our wisdom. Thank you, God. Be with each family that's in this room this morning. If there's family in this room this morning that are struggling, God, put a finger on their hearts, Lord, that they can call out to you. That it can bring restoration, Lord God. God, we thank you again for your word. Thank you for your mercy and your grace that you shower upon us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. May God bless you. And like I said, this was a difficult message for me to prepare this morning. But I believe there was many assurances that when I wanted to back out and say, no, can't do it. And I'll give you one this morning. We was in a prayer room yesterday morning, and I was battling about preaching this message. And every single brother in that room that morning prayed for the families. Prayed for the families. That was an assurance for me to preach that message this morning. So may God bless you, and let's go for it. And let's not give up, because there's too much to lose. And I know you want to. So may God bless you.